today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, American Airlines has a new system that allows it to hold flights for connecting passengers, and a new junk fee rule has gone into effect. Will it help consumers? Those stories and more next in the travel news.
Our Smarter Travelers segment has a two-for-one this week. Hilton Honors members, have you noticed the huge sudden devaluation of your points? We told you it was coming. And what does it mean when SSSS is printed on your boarding pass? Answer to those questions at 11:22.
The top tourism official in our state is Carolyn Batetta, the president and CEO of Visit California. She joins us at 11:35 to talk about some of her challenges and to share some important travel tips regarding California's national parks this summer.
Our Odds and Ends segment at 11:50 features an update on the real IDs, which so far, you know, sort of a nothing burger at the airport. But we warned you, it won't last forever. You won't be able to get on a plane without one sooner or later.
Time for another edition of Sacramento's most popular travel program. Thank you for tuning in, live or on the podcast, to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and along with Mark Hoffman, thanks for spending part of your day with us, at least an hour. Don't forget now, podcasts of the program and the newest and the oldest can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, Mark, let's see. What have you been up to since I saw you last? I kind of have an idea, and it has something to do with tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or actually today.
Yeah, we've been working pretty hard, and we probably should up front tell people that since it's not physically possible to be in two places at the same time, Sports Leisure Vacations is holding their tour preview day at the KVIE studios today. Thank you to our friends at KVIE for making that available to us. So this show was taped on Friday afternoon for you on this Saturday. And we'll be back live with you again next week. We rolled out a whole bunch of new tours today, Tom, and our phones are going to be quite busy, I'm sure, on Monday morning. If you're a Sports Leisure traveler and you didn't attend Preview Day, you will be receiving a newsletter with all of the new available tours sometime over the next week or so.
On the Travel Guys, if you listen to the radio station on a regular basis, there's travel news almost all the time. At least something's going on because travel is just about the number one thing that most people like to do. And if they're not doing it, they're talking about it. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on Mark's version of the travel news. And with that said, here's Mark.
American Airlines, this is kind of cool, and my suspicion is that this technology will spread around. It may already be spread around. American Airlines says the headline starts holding more flights to prevent misconnects. This comes from Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time. He reports that American Airlines is trialing some new technology, and this is something that could really make a difference for passengers. They have started using it at their Dallas-Fort Worth hub. The technology identifies departing flights with connecting passengers who might miss their flight. If the airline determines it can delay the flight without any impact to the airline's schedule, the airline will propose a short hold to get those connecting customers on board. This is going to work mostly, they go on to explain in the article, for the last flight of the day, when a plane is going to be on the ground overnight, whether it leaves Dallas at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. Perhaps isn't as much of a concern if you don't have situations where your flight crew are going to run out of available working hours or things like that. So this is going to allow American to probably have fewer misconnects, certainly in Dallas. They indicate that they're moving it to, going to try it at their Charlotte hub and at other hubs over the course of the summer. I might suggest to you, based on my information, that this is already available at United Airlines. And the reason I say this is because, Tom, we've had several situations lately where when I'm traveling with a group usually of 20 or 30 people. we're getting into an airport and now we have to change planes and we have, you know, an hour, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. Sometimes you have to change terminals. We've had several situations over the last year when I've been a tour director with a group where you start out early in the day and it shows that your plane is coming into the A concourse in Denver and you're connecting in the C concourse and you're thinking, oh my God, that's going to be a long run. But magically, somehow throughout the day, sometimes even while your plane is on its way to, let's say, Denver, suddenly instead of connecting from A to C, you're connecting from B to B or C to C. The airline, and I'm guessing there's some kind of algorithm that has recognized that here there are 20 or 30 passengers. They're on a really tight connect. Maybe their plane is a little bit late. We're not going to get out on time. But if we moved their inbound plane next to their outbound plane, life would get a lot simpler, both for them and for us. Mm-hmm. And that has happened several times. It doesn't happen every time, but it has happened enough times that I'm reasonably certain that there is something that is identifying those connecting passengers. So anyway, if you're an American Airlines passenger and you're going through Dallas and you're on the last plane of the night, you might the airline gods might be shining on you. And if this technology catches on, maybe it will be all over the place. Is Southwest Airlines planning international expansion? Or they filed an interesting regulatory request last week, which is making some people wonder whether the airline is planning some significant international expansion. Stay tuned. It's also the kind of regulatory statement that they can file. They wouldn't necessarily be about to expand hugely internationally. Southwest has not commented, which would tend to make me think that some more Southwest service, international service is coming. It may not necessarily be overseas. Southwest has preferred Central America and Mexico, but maybe they will head on into South America at some point in time. Here's a kind of an interesting survey from our friends at Travelers United. Have you or would you ever take a vacation or travel alone? This is really interesting because when they took this survey 20 years ago, the number of people who said they had traveled alone and would travel alone again was 32%.
Mm-hmm.
The number now, 20 years later, is 70%.
Wow.
Including 17% who say they've never traveled alone, but they would certainly consider doing it at some time in the future. So only about one out of every eight people would not travel by themselves. So that certainly indicates much more confidence in the system. Resort fees in the U.S. must now be disclosed, but not everybody is celebrating yet. The junk fee rule went into effect on Monday. When you go online now, you probably have already noticed this in some of the travel websites. They have to tell you what the price is up front. There's no more of this drip pricing, especially the folks at Airbnb were fond of it, where you would get to the last screen and now there was a huge cleaning charge and a whole bunch of other bogus stuff that was put on there. And now all of that stuff has to be disclosed to you on the first screen as opposed to a surprise at the end. However, we have seen the dismissal of a lot of people who are part of regulatory agencies in Washington, D.C. by the current administration. So it remains to be seen whether or not this rule and a number of others that help consumers will be enforced or whether they will just fall by the wayside.
Do you think that there's a possibility that it could go back to the way it was? Were they no longer disclosing and just, you know, because the rules, just they're not going to hold their feet to the fire?
We'll have to see. This is not the only rule that fits into this category. There are a lot of consumer-facing things that the Biden administration passed that the Trump administration has not shown a great deal of interest in.
Well,
so we'll see. If there's nobody to enforce the rule, then it won't really matter. You can have the rule on the books, and if there's nobody there to enforce it, and we know that businesses and large corporate businesses tend to try to figure out a way to get around some of this stuff. So this is something where we will just have to see.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you are looking for a bargain on a premium ticket to go to Europe, consider looking at Finnair. Finland's national airline has some tremendous deals. Two of the folks that communicate with us here at the Travel Guys this week indicated that called attention to folks. So if you're going to Europe, you're willing to fly through Finland, you might find yourself a really good deal. A couple of airlines are trying to attract folks who are major flyers with other carriers. American Airlines says they will match your flying, your status. There are some rules and some restrictions, but if you are a top-tier flyer at Southwest, Delta, or United, American Airlines would love to have you. Delta SkyMiles says, hey, to unhappy Southwest A-listers, trade down to us. Mm-hmm. You can get elite status at Delta if you have the same elite status at Southwest for a limited period of time until you can earn that status with Delta. Those status matches are a great thing if you are thinking of changing your loyalty from one airline to another. But if you're not in that position, then, and remember, and we're going to talk about this in just a few minutes, about what Hilton Honors has done to their program just in the last few weeks. Ouch. They set your points on fire, folks. We'll talk about that again in a few minutes. You know, this may not be necessarily a pure travel thing, although I will suggest to you that these people had to travel from another country to get here. Week before last was the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. And of course, when that happened, quite a few folks from Vietnam and Cambodia came to the United States. A good number of them, Tom, settled in this area where you and I live here in Rancho Cordova.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. I remember the nickname Rancho Cambodia for a while from people who were not real happy that all of these immigrants had come to town. But you know what? Here we are 50 years later, and I would just say that those folks have integrated into the community, and Rancho Cordova is a better place to live than it was 50 years ago. Perhaps in part because the folks who formed the city have done such a good job. But that's just my opinion. I live here. So, but anyhow, this was one immigration story that seems to have worked out fairly well, I would say.
Yeah. So, and I live here and I agree.
You know, those folks all came here and a lot of them worked hard and made themselves a part of the community. So congratulations to them. Here is another marginal travel story. This is about new In-N-Out burger places. If you live in Sacramento, you don't have to go to another city to get one. But if you live in Modesto, this is extremely good news because over the course of the next year, they have In-N-Out burger has listed some of their new locations they're going to open, and one of them is in Modesto.
I am so shocked. I am shocked that that Modesto hasn't already had an In-N-Out burger.
That's your old stomping grounds, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, born and raised. I'll have to bring this up with my family that lives there and find out if they've been anxiously awaiting an In-N-Out.
If you're headed to Fresno or Bakersfield or something like that, now you've got a new lunch stop along the way. And finally, this is from Hertz. This is really interesting. Headline says, this comes from View from the Wing, no ding goes unnoticed. Hertz AI X-ray tunnel logs every scratch at 100 airport returns this year. Hertz has now this return tunnel that they put your car through. And the tunnel will detect anything that is different on the car from the last time that it went through. So Hertz sends this release out and it specifically says, so now, folks, you don't have to worry about taking pictures of the car before you leave and when you get back because we're doing it all for you.
Yeah, wrong.
Yeah, folks, don't be fooled. One of the best things you can do to protect yourself is to take pictures of your rental car before you leave and after you get back. And the reason I tell you this is because we didn't really talk much about this, but Hertz last year dinged me for a car I rented. Actually, it was early this year, dinged me for a car I rented over Christmas vacation out of the St. Louis airport when I was back visiting some relatives for Christmas. And they came back and said, you know, you owe us $1,400. This car was damaged. And I said, no, I don't think so. So I called my lawyer just for fun and said, you know, how should I respond to these people? He said, well, did you damage the car? I said, no. He said, well, did you? I know you. He said, you must have pictures when you took the car back. I said, I absolutely do. And they specifically show the area that they claim is damaged. There's no damage. So I said, so what do I do now? He said, nothing. He said, when they write you again, if they do, just tell them that you have pictures that prove that there was no damage. He said, they're going to ask you for the pictures. Don't send them to them. So I didn't. And he said, they'll probably ask you for them again. And they did. And I said, he said, just tell them you'll be happy to see them in court. I have never heard back from them a third time. This was several months ago.
Wow.
I still have the pictures.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you that, you know, we've talked about how airlines try to get how rental car companies try to get money out of people when perhaps the damage wasn't done by you or wasn't done at all. And now Hertz has this new tunnel that's going to identify every scratch. Here is my recommendation. I have changed rental car companies after this latest incident with Hertz. I had been a loyal Hertz customer for probably a quarter of a century. I now rent from National. So I'm tired of the BS from Hertz Rental Car. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today.
And before we get into our Smarter Traveler segment, a quick reminder that Rudy's Hideaway is looking for you. If you enjoy the best food around, and Mark and I were talking before we went on the air about how wonderful their food is and, you know, yeah, how consistently great it is. I mentioned to Mark that I had popped in and I didn't even get an entree. I went with a bowl of clam chowder soup and a salad, and I got me some of the world's greatest calamari and some of those lobster pot stickers. And boy, I was all full, and now I'm ready to go back for an entree.
There you, well, and listen, I got a couple of notes from people who were part of our Kentucky Derby party. And thank you. Some folks who went to Kentucky with Sports Leisure Vacations, and they thanked us for the party. And both commented in the copy of their little note to me about how good the food was at Rudy's and how they intended to put it on their regular restaurant schedule. So, yeah, the food is good there. If you've got a group, they'll take really good care of you. And Steve and his crowd are top notch. I mean, it is not the cheapest restaurant in town. It's only the best.
There you go. And by the way, you know, if Rudy's features a lot of fish, but that's not all. They've got some great filet mignon. Their prime rib is to die for. So there's pretty much something on the menu for everybody, including a great hamburger. Rudy's Hideaway, easy to find, right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. And tell them the travel guy sent you. Okay, Mark, let's get to it. Smarter Traveler segment. What do we got?
Yeah. Well, two quick things here. One is that Hilton Honors, we've talked about this before, about how the airlines, anybody who has any type of a frequent guest program, and they're giving you points or some kind of reward for coming, they're running that program. So they can change it anytime they wish. It's not really regulated by anybody. And what the airlines and the hotels have discovered is that they can give you these huge bonuses to sign up for cards, and they can throw all these points and miles at you. And all they have to do when too many of them get out there and it starts to impact their bottom line is they just change, they move the bar. So Hilton, they've done this before, but Hilton in the last couple weeks has really made some significant changes. If you're a Hilton Honors member, I challenge you to go online and pull up the hotel that you last stayed in and used points in, and tell me if you don't see. We use a hotel here in town, a couple of the Hilton Garden Inns that are out by the airport. I have a couple tour directors that come from out of town and have to spend the night before a trip takes off. And the number of points for those hotels has gone from 25,000 to 30,000 to all the way up to 50,000 to 60,000. And these are not necessarily peak nights or anything like that. So, first of all, if you're a Hilton Honors member and you're thinking, wow, I've got X number of points and here's what I'm going to use them for, you might want to go online and check it out because the bar has been moved fairly significantly. And this is a reminder to folks who belong to these frequent flyer guest visitor programs that the rules can be changed at any time and you have really no recourse. So really, it would be a good idea if we could get somebody like, oh, maybe the government to take a look at this and make sure that what these people are offering folks are available to them when they get to their goal or something, or do away with the whole thing and give us a 3% or 4% discount. Another thing I will tell you is that more and more of the vendors that I do business with in the travel industry are charging a 2%, 3%, even a 4% surcharge to use your credit card. So that's getting the points may now cost you. So be careful. One other quick item here. This was pointed out to me. A Travel Guys listener sent an email and said we were at the airport. We had to leave before we had an emergency. And we had to leave. When we got back home after we had canceled our reservation, I noticed my wife's boarding pass had four S's on the top of it.
Hmm.
And he said, "What the heck would that mean?" I said, well, what it means is that your wife, for whatever reason, had been selected for additional security inspection. So if you get a boarding pass with those four S's on it, it doesn't mean anything bad has happened to you. It could mean that just randomly you got selected. It might mean if you have a ticket that involves a couple of different airlines, or you're going internationally and you're flying to four or five different countries on different carriers, something like that, then, yeah, it's like, all right, let's take a little closer look at this person. So SSSS on your boarding pass isn't necessarily mean that you're going to jail.
Do you know what the SSSS means? Or are we just going to guess that selected for special screening services or something like
that?
Yeah,
selected for special screening at security or something like that. That would be four S's. But anyways, it's something that the airlines do. But to me, Tom, it seems a little bit dumb because – once that becomes known, if I were a bad person or were doing something bad and SSSS showed up on my boarding pass, I'm going to think twice about going through security that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm up to no good, somebody is already figuring out that I might be up to no good and they're kind of sort of waiting for me. So I'm not so sure. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be immensely hassled going through security. It just is a warning to the TSA people, something that will tell them that you are somebody that needs to be looked at a little more carefully.
There you go. Well, special SSSS.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
I'll let you in on a little secret. Today, the Travel Guys show was recorded before broadcast because right now going on is Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day over at the KVIE studios. About 400 of our travelers are there to find out what we have coming up later on in the year or in the beginning of 2025. If you're a mature traveler and you'd like to get a copy of the new tours from Sports Leisure Vacations, you can go to sportsleisure.com and send us a note. Or on Monday morning, you can give us a call at 916-361-2051. Your favorite tour company has a brand new schedule of trips for the second half of the year, also day trips down to see shows in San Francisco and to other regional theaters and things of the like. So give us a check us out at sportsleisure.com.
Hello there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, you can get a link to our special guest at TravelGuysRadio.com, where you can find all kinds of things there to make you a smarter traveler. Our special guest today, Carolyn Batetta. Carolyn is the president and CEO of the industry-led Visit California. It's a nonprofit organization. It was created to market California as a premier travel destination, for sure. Carolyn, with the recent fires in Southern California and now the drop in international tourism, seems like you must have a really interesting job right now. A lot of plates spinning all at the same time. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely, Tom. Very accurate. Didn't think that was coming our way when I woke up the first few days of January of the first of the new year.
The governor cut a commercial for us to show up in Canada. I've talked to some folks up in British Columbia that have seen it. I said, well, does that change your mind? Does that move the needle? And they're like, I don't think so.
So that's funny. Yeah, Canada,
really not,
go ahead.
They're really not very happy with us right now. They're confused as to why we hate them so much.
Yes, it is very frustrating, particularly I'm hybrid. I'm first generation American of Canadian pilgrimage, Ottawa, as a matter of fact, and then had a part-time floating home for several years up in the Victoria area. So very hard for me to digest on a personal level. And, you know, there is a distinguishing factor. We get a little bit of a pass given our diverse, you know, inclusive culture here in California. But as you said, Mark, not enough to overcome the sentiment coming out of Canada. And we're not going to give up on that market. You know, there's a lot of friends and family synergy and exchange and reason for travel. So it's deeper than just a business proposition. And that's why we really leaned into this latest, what I call diplomatic layer to our outreach. And we'll be back up there in the fall. As well, meeting with the travel trade and other influencers of travel.
Well, and they will come back at some point in time, if not tomorrow or next week. or next year. At some point, Canadians will be back. So you want to be at the first of the line waving, you know, hey, remember us? National parks. The Orange Guy in D.C. has had some things to say about national parks, and the whole budget processes that we're going through looks like national parks are probably going to take a hit. We have a lot of national parks in California. They are a huge visitor attraction. I'd love to hear, what would you tell somebody from another state, Carolyn, who is thinking about coming here and going to Yosemite, Sequoia, and the like?
Yeah, Mark, bottom line, there's never been a better time to visit our national parks here in California. Now, I know that's a shocker to everyone, but there's been a lot of media amplification on some of the challenges as part of this whole DOGE effort, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, as you say. And basically, you know, what the media has been reporting is about the federal park workers, the federal government operations. We've leaned into our gateway communities. We have very robust gateway communities in California, particularly around Yosemite Park. And there's been really very little layoffs to date let's just talk Yosemite for now, on that front. And remember that it's really the concessionaire that is visitor facing. They're the ones interacting with the visitor. They're running the hospitality and many of the tour or experience operations on the ground. They've had no layoffs and are ready to welcome the world. And so with all the media discussion, you know, it's looking a little soft. So it is really a good time to visit. I can double click on that if you want, but I'll pause for a minute.
Our special guest here with the Travel Guys today, Carolyn Battetta, the CEO president with Visit California. Carolyn, with what you just said, it sounds to me like those that particularly want to visit the national parks, Yosemite and such here in California, are more than likely not going to see any interruption in too much service, and things are going to be kind of status quo regardless of what perhaps you've heard on the news. That would be accurate?
That's correct. And we're in regular contact with those gateway communities as well as the park. I mean, there are new protocols I can cover if you'd like. That might be helpful for your listeners.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so recently, just in the last 10 or 12 days or so, the National Park System, particularly Yosemite, came out with announcing reservations that are needed through the Memorial Day weekend through August 15th, and those are required. I think the good news about that is that they're only for peak hours in the day. So if you're planning on visiting, you will, via your own car, you will definitely need a reservation for those peak hours. But if you're looking at coming in before 6 a.m. or after 2 p.m., you actually would not need a reservation. That's outside of the reservation window. And I've got a few tips for those, even if you're looking at going during peak hours.
As the head tourism official in this very large state, with a plethora of tourist attractions, I mean everything from national parks to Disneyland, literally, it has to be a huge challenge balancing all these folks. What would you say is your biggest challenge, or a couple of things that are challenges for you day to day in what you do? What for the folks who are listening, what's it like to be the head of tourism in the biggest tourism destination in the country?
That's a great question. I'm kind of sitting back with that one. I try not to think about that. How about that? First and foremost,
but yeah.
Even so, I guess there's three lenses that I look through. One, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but we're actually a 501c6. Our governance structure is modeled after those agricultural commodity boards the dancing raisins, fresh-cut peaches,
right.
Fresh-cut flowers, et cetera. And so, you know, one lens is looking through management, governance, leadership, responsiveness to the more than 16,000 investors we have to fund this program. It's not a taxpayer-funded program, but a great service to visitors from around the world, including Californians. So that's one lens. The other lens is looking at a little bit, we've touched on some of this policy implications for travel and accessibility. That's big. It's changing every day. It's constant. Think about the road closure on Highway 1 and the implications for that. Or think about when we, you know, move into winter and people are interested in accessing our snow resorts, Lake Tahoe, Mammoth. I'm working with Caltrans, CHP on accessibility to our mountain resorts in the wintertime, for example. And then through the consumer lens, and that's really important. That's our main mission, is marketing California to the world. So advising consumers, just like we're talking about today, on how they can manage and navigate California and really have the trip of a lifetime, because it's all there for sure.
Our guest today has been Carolyn Petetta. She is president and CEO of Visit California. And dare I say, folks, she's out there plugging away all the time, representing our state and trying to get more folks to come here and spend more money, because that's kind of it. Tourism is the biggest business in the country. And hopefully the drop off in international tourists will be replaced by folks in California who will seize the opportunity to get out and see a little bit more of what is in our backyard. Carolyn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Mark and Tom. Remember, I'm a listener, too, when I'm not on the air with you guys. You guys do a great job. Appreciate it.
Well, Mark, that is flattering that Carolyn is a listener. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Carolyn sent us an email, and in it she had a list of things that we wanted to talk about about Yosemite. And one of the things that's going on at Yosemite is there are some hours that you need reservations, some not. We're going to cover that. And one of the things I wanted to ask about, Mark, there was discussion about the concierge and, of course, those that run Yosemite National Park, the park district, if you will. What's the difference? Who does what?
Well, you've got the National Park Service is in charge of the park per se. So they're the rangers. They're the people at the entry gate. They're the folks who keep the restrooms tidy and catch the bears and rescue people and things like that. They're the keepers of the park, if you will. Every national park, or almost every national park, has at least one concessionaire. In this case, it's Aramark in Yosemite. They bid for the right to provide the services in the park, to run the hotels, to run the restaurants, to run the souvenir shops and stuff, if you will, to all the things that sell things to people and help make money to support the parks. The concessionaire is in charge of those things, and they pay a fee or a percentage of their sales or both back to the park, which in turn also goes into the general fund and helps run the park. So you have the Park Service, the National Park Service, that's in charge of the day-to-day operation of the park, and the concessionaire that's in charge of the operation of everything that involves money besides the entry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it also makes sense that to perhaps not be quite afraid of going to a national park like Yosemite and thinking that there's not going to be anything there, that you're not going to be able to rent a bike or go rafting or, like you say, a lot of the things that you're going to need are going to be provided by the concessionaires.
Yes. And you can be assured that they are not cutting staff or services because they know that there's a lot of money to be made there. So they need to be fully staffed and the like. Here were a few of the tips here quickly that Carolyn shared, just to kind of reiterate them. When you go to the park, if you're arriving between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m., when this starts after June the 15th, when the peak season starts, you will have to have a reservation to get into the park. So even if you're going, like if I had a tour bus and I was going, I would have to have a reservation. We have a group going in a couple weeks, but it's before this. It's right on the edge of the peak season. If you go in a vehicle of any kind, you have to have a reservation to get in between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. if you arrive. So, I mean, who's going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and drive to Yosemite? I don't think anybody.
No, no.
So if you're arriving during the normal daytime hours, you've got a reservation, you're going up for lunch, you're taking some people up to see Yosemite, you've got to have a reservation. That's really important. If you drive all the way up there and you don't have it, you're not going to get in.
Or you wait until 2 o'clock.
You wait until 2 o'clock.
And then you can get in after. You know, there's still a lot of daylight left after 2 o'clock. There's still quite a bit to see.
There is. And although Yosemite gets dark, the shadows, because it's a valley.
Yeah.
You've got all those high. But the shadows and stuff can be really awesome. There is Yosemite Transportation, YARTS it's called, public transportation system that you can look up online so you can get free shuttles. There are shuttle buses within the park, and you can ride a bike, so you don't have to drive around Yosemite Valley. Heaven forbid, if you take your car up there, please park it and enjoy. I mean, because there's nothing worse than a traffic jam in a national park. So those reservations are required between June 15th and August the 15th. So that's really the most important takeaway from all of this, besides the fact that if you didn't know who she was, you got a chance to meet our state tourism director, Carolyn. So anyways, thank you, Carolyn, for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, it's been a kind of an interesting week. Everybody was on pins and noodles wondering how things were going to go with the real ID at the TSA and whether there was going to be a lot of backup or issues. Mark, I know you've had your fingers on the pulse of this. You've done some traveling during it.
Yep.
Bring us up to date. For those of us that haven't been out on the road or at the airport, how did it look?
I checked in or out of half a dozen airports on the way to Michigan and back to kind of a circuitous route. Getting to Mackinac Island is not as easy as one might think. It's in a fairly rural area in northern Michigan. But anyway, TSA enforcement was a big nothing burger in terms of it causing serious delays and the like. For folks who, I witnessed this a couple of times along the way, for folks who didn't have a real ID, it just required a full body pat down. I'm not sure why they decided that was the thing to do.
They had to do something.
They ran this guy's stuff through the screener twice. They ran it through and then they turned it over and ran it back through the other way. And I watched them do the pat downs with people at one of the airports. It turned out they were handing people a thing that didn't have a real ID that said, you know, we let you through today and we're going to let people through for a while, but not forever. So you need to get a real ID because someday you could be told, no, you cannot pass through security and therefore you can't get on your plane. So if you've got a passport, that is a perfectly acceptable, or if you go to Real ID on the internet, there are military IDs, and there are a lot of things that are acceptable that some people have. So before you panic, make sure you don't have one. But if you don't have a Real ID, you can still fly. Just go to the airport. Give yourself 15 extra minutes. You might get a, you know, I mean, somebody with a wild hair up their rear end decides to put you through some more stuff. But it seemed to be, I watched it happen in one airport, and it didn't delay the person more than 2 or 3 minutes. And the TSA people, and I was right next to it once and was a little ways away from it another time. And the TSA people were very polite, seemed to know what they were doing, seemed like they had a plan and the like. So anyway, get your real ID because at some point in time, they are going to back off of this more lax enforcement and then you're going to need one. Also, I asked one of the TSA inspectors about it, and she said, if you have a known traveler number, you know, your pre-check,
right,
they already have some of that information on you. So when they enter your ID, whatever ID you're using, and it pulls you up, it's going to show them that you've already enrolled in pre-check. So, you know, we already kind of know more about you. So and I was in the pre-check line in each case. So that may have had something to do with it. But anyway, that's sort of the bottom line. One other fun thing here, I thought an article that came up this week. Headline is Airbnb is trying to win back travelers from hotels. It wasn't that long ago when the headline was the opposite. Hotels were trying to win back travelers from Airbnb.
Interesting. Well, with that being said, is it the hidden fees, the restrictions that they put on you when you get an Airbnb. Why are people starting to shy away and starting to look towards hotels? And like I say, a flip-flop here.
Yeah, well, the concept of Airbnb was it gave you more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that the check-in process is sometimes kind of wonky, and it leaves a lot of room for people to be, you know, I got here and this was in this condition. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. There can be a lot of back and forth. You check into a hotel. If something isn't right, you turn around and go back down to the front desk and you get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you make somebody aware of what's going on. So Airbnb doesn't really, when you're renting someone's home, or you're renting a home that isn't really someone's home, it's a home that somebody has bought for the sole purpose of turning it into an Airbnb,
mm-hmm.
or you know, one of the other companies. So what they're doing is Airbnb, a new feature called Airbnb Services allows users to buy 10 categories of amenities straight to their stay. So starting last week, customers can buy services such as chef-cooked meals, spa treatments, personal training through the Airbnb platform. It would be interesting to see whether or not I have to believe Airbnb is adding some kind of markup to that. So why would you not just pick up the phone and call DoorDash?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but anyway, the idea here is that Airbnb is now in the services business. So if they can help you do something that will make your stay more enjoyable or make it less complicated, then I guess they're thinking that that would be a way. And I would agree that that's probably good thinking. I have never been a big Airbnb fan. People ask me about that sometimes, and I just tell them, you know, hotels are so simple. And now that you can do your key on your phone if you want to, I mean, it's even simpler. You don't have to even stop at the front desk if you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your lifestyle and what you do, you're perfect for all the hotels and all of that. They provide everything you need. You're not planning on having a giant family reunion and at some Airbnb rental house. So it works for you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and for people who... the other comment here from the Airbnb people were that they're getting more of people are renting Airbnbs more often to hold a party,
yeah,
or to do something like that. And that's becoming a little bit of an issue between the renters. And of course, again, if you rent a hotel room to have a party, you probably will have the same issue.
You sure will.
And people, the front desk will be up there much quicker than the owner of the Airbnb will. So 601, half dozen of another. But Airbnb has added a service arm in order to hypothetically, if you're on a vacation and you're going someplace where you don't know where these services are, this might be something that would be of help to some people.
Yeah, good idea.
And if you
good
don't
info.
Care about, if you're not watching every dollar, then it doesn't bother you that you've set up a haircut and somebody's going to, you know, come to the house and give you a haircut and it's going to be $50 as opposed to you going down to your favorite barber in town and it costs you $15 or $20.
Well, there you go. Well, that's our odds and ends for today and wrapping up another edition of the Travel Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Be sure to dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.